is a case from a group farming from Kerala. I moved from various states, you know. In between, I'm bringing the community-based organizations like PACS I brought into picture. I brought the linkages between SHGs, JLGs, the PACS, the FPOs, the Farmers Club. Various linkages have been established. This is a very interesting case I thought I must share with you. The group farming in Kerala. Whether the group is better than individual farming? The possible answer which is emerging from this case lately, yes. There were women groups who were pursuing a kind of leased in land. They undertook a kind of joint farming, and the activity is basically, you know, as I told you, leased activity. Land is leased in. It's a contract which the land has been taken on contract by the JLG. How they work, let us see on that. They promoted a kind of, you know, joint liability groups. The members, as usual, were 6 to 10. Here, the average size is about 6. That's what it works out. They perform strikingly better than the individual farms in terms of two parameters. In terms of productivity, they were better. In terms of profitability, they were better than the individual farmers. They also proved one point, that those JLGs who went for a commercial crop like banana, they certainly were more successful than the JLGs who went for a food grain crop, maybe paddy. So two things emerged. Go for a kind of commercial crops, one. Go for something like, you know, group farming, so that your productivity goes up, your profitability goes up. Now, these groups were promoted by the Kudumbashree, which is basically a state-owned organization. They get involved in the development process. They promoted the groups. They were successful because productivity is high, profitability is high, repayments are good. What happens? How this approach works? You know, this is what I thought I must share with you. Basically, they give a technical support. They give a credit support from the banking system. So once we get credit and technology, there is a chance that we will succeed. You know, for example, you know, if we look to this, there are various products. You know, three pillars I have said. Only two are there, but the third is on the second slide. There was a home heterogeneity. Basically, there was a heterogeneity, but please remember, economically they were homogeneous. Economically, they were homogeneous. Socially, they may be heterogeneous, but economically, they were homogeneous. They got a subsidized credit from the banking system. So the groups were working on parameter of homogeneity in terms of economic base. Their focus was on commercial crops. I told you, the groups which undertook a commercial crop, they succeeded little more than others who undertook a paddy kind of cultivation. This is what we have to understand, that they pooled their land, they had constraints on technical front, they had credit constraints, but they were addressed through these kind of joint farming groups. You know, what is the specific I learned from this? You know, these JLGs were formed of a smaller group. I explained to you, the number varies from 4 to 10. These groups were relatively of younger group, younger age. You know, this is the second thing we learned. You know, third, they were relatively well educated. You know, they had a social network. Fourth, because social network is important if you want to create the social capital and if you want these groups to survive. So one, smaller groups, okay. Have a younger generation, perfectly okay. Third, go for the educated groups. Have some the people who are a little more educated, so the chances of survival of the group and success are more. These groups, they go for creating social network and seeing the social capital is created in the process. Idea was very simple. Create a livelihood, create the empowerment process. You know, empowerment, I explained to you many times. Basically, this is the participation in the decision making, maybe in the family, maybe in the panchayats, maybe in the local bodies. You know, this is a kind of, you know, the very typical state which is having a women are relatively, they are subject to lesser social norms. This is what I put it. So possibly this is one of the reasons that this kind of, you know, experiment succeeded a little more there. You know. But similar lessons we can learn from the other states also. We try to compare the male groups and the female groups. You know, and we have an understanding, even the male groups, they leased in the land. They had social networking was better in the male group actually. But they were able to go for kind of, you know, more economic terms for leasing in the land. That's how they succeeded. But the women groups, they did certainly better than the male groups because these groups were of smaller size. Whereas the male groups, I realized, they were of a bigger group. Their number was 15 to 19. But in our case, The female groups were 4 to 10 members, you know. So the size of the group does make a difference. What is the more important is we have to understand the crops. I told you the paddy crop was not that successful, but the groups which undertook banana cultivation, they succeeded better. So the crop choice is important, the size is important, the social heterogeneity is okay, but economically they have to be more homogeneous. You know. This is what, you know, this is a repetition, but let me conclude with this. The state support is important because these groups have to be promoted. Kudumbashree came into picture in Kerala to promote these groups, you know. They provide the administrative support, they provide the technical support, the banks provided the credit support. Basically, these groups were from the neighborhoods, actually, from the same neighborhood, same lane of the village. They came together, they formed the groups. Third, the social heterogeneity is okay, but economically, you have to be more homogeneous. This is what we get a learning, actually. Educated members, of course, is an advantage. Wherever you are more educated members, the group succeed. This is what the conclusion is there, you know. What do I do as far as the replication is concerned? Group size, I explained to you, no? Maybe 3 to 4 is very small number. The cost of group goes up, actually. Therefore, the normal size could be maximum of 10. That's what the study has concluded. The another point which is made is the cropping pattern. I told you about the commercial crops. They succeed a little more than the food crop, you know. This is what the conclusion is there of that study, you know. I'm going to one more joint liability group. One, this I shared with you from Kerala. Let me share with you about the joint liability groups from Dharmasthala. SKRDP, Sri Kshetra Dharmasthala Rural Urban Project. This is in Karnataka. Very unique experience. Let us see what happens in this group, you know. These groups are 5 to 8 persons. These are again joint liability groups. These groups are promoted since 91. These groups are being promoted and strengthened by this agency, you know. That is in, I give you the, where it is working. Basically, these are called as Pragati Bandhu groups. You know. Very interesting to work that these groups, they meet once a week. They have a group meetings. Once in a week they meet, they have a group meetings. They exchange the labor actually. That's a very interesting part. We shall come in the next slide. You will realize that the USP of these groups are sharing of labor. You know. How that is happening, we shall share in the next slide. But for this moment, these groups, they get a kind of, they promote savings. They get individual loans also. This is very important. Of course, the guarantee is a group guarantee. Please remember, that is what is there. That's a basic on which all these JLGs are formed. There is a mutual guarantee. There is an individual and joint liability is there for the loans which they take it. This is what I wanted to share with you. This is what I promised you last slide. Labor sharing is a USP actually. What they call it, Shram Vinimaya. Usually what they do is, usually the members come at one member's place once in a week. They work for the whole day on that fellow's farm. Whatever the host is telling, they will do that work, you know. They will not get wages, please remember. There is no payment. But the host to whom they have come, the host provides the lunch or food to their members. Next day, next time they also decide where they should work. At the end of the day, they plan even for the next labor sharing day, you know. They will work on another field, or they will work to, they will go to another fellow and work on his field, you know. So there is the exchange of labor which happens. Every week they come together, share the labor, go to the next fellow, work there, and no payments for the wages, but they get food. They decide something in the meeting actually. What they do? During the meetings, what they do? They share their experiences, very important, you know. They collect savings. The group guarantee helps them to get credit from the banking system. The loans are repaid in weekly installment, please remember. So savings take place, credit is there, repayment is there, sharing of labor is there. Now all these advantages are coming through this kind of, and that's the uniqueness of this group actually. The fellow, this is what important. The fellow who got an advantage of the Shram Vinimaya or exchange of labor, following day he goes to the bank and deposits the savings he has received from his member friends actually. Or the loan in installments which are collected in a group, this fellow who is a host actually, he goes to the bank and does all the banking transactions. Now, this is the experience is showing in this particular case. The farmer gets income through wages. He gets income through vegetable cultivation. He gets income through dairy activity. Income he gets through floriculture. All these income sources, they enable these members to repay on a weekly basis. Please remember, various sources of income are there. Wages, vegetable income, dairy income, floriculture income, crop income of course comes seasonal, but all these income sources, they enable these people to repay the loans on weekly basis. This is possibly a last story I thought I must share with you, last caselet, where we are getting a kind of linkage between a SHG and the FPO. This is the very case from the Bihar. It's the Darbhanga district of Bihar, where the SHGs were promoted. Then these people, they had a critical gaps of what? They had a problem of size. They had a low financial resources. They had a low investment capacity. They had weak marketing linkages. And the social capital, which was built in the process of women SHGs over the years, they wanted to use it. And therefore, the FPO was promoted. Please understand the link now. The SHGs were promoted. The social capital is created. Now they want to encash their social capital for promotion of farmer producer organization. In 2016, the NGO took an initiative and he formed an FPO of these women SHGs. Over 3,500 shareholders are there. Initial capital was something like ₹1 lakh in 2020, but it went up to 5,62,000 over a period of time. By 2022, they had a substantial capital because the social capital was already created. Now it is becoming a more productive organization, a more useful organization. How it happens, we shall see that. They promoted a FPO. Who the NGO came into picture? The NGO provided a support for social mobilization of converting the SHGs or making that SHGs into a FPO. Now, why they wanted? They wanted that the goat rearing was already activity, which was pursued by the women SHGs. Scale was small. They thought, can we provide them the technology so that they undertake a goat rearing on a scientific basis, on commercial basis, and through the creation of value chain? This was the objective with which the FPO was formed. Ensure that they get a scale advantage, they get a technology, they get a marketing support. The NGO socially mobilized these groups. The groups are mobilized. Now, it's only a process of graduation of SHG to a FPO. Now, what the FPO did? FPO went for a breed improvement. They went for a rearing of goat in the stalls rather than the grazing in the open. They went for balanced nutrition. They went for vaccination. They went for organized marketing. Now, five elements came into picture. Breed improvement, diet, balanced diet was ensured, stall feeding rather than the grazing, proper vaccination, organized marketing. How these five elements were combined, and these elements led to a kind of success of the FPO. How that happened, let us see. The FPO eliminated the local traders in the marketing process. How? They entered into a contract with the slaughterers. The producers and the slaughterers came in contract with directly with each other, so that the middlemen who were there in the picture, they were eliminated. There was a commission of 3% was there, which was shared by the producers and the slaughterers. There was a written agreement. Please remember, these groups entered into written agreements with the producers for what? For avoiding the price fluctuation. To get a kind of control over the price fluctuation, these members, they came together, entered into an agreement in writing with the kind of the slaughterhouses so that they get a price. Now, this is what happened, you know. You will be keen. What happens immediately? Well, okay, the groups are formed. Linkages are established. Three, four things happen. Help the goat rearing people to help the improve the body weight. Because in case of goat, what is important is to improve the body weight. Their experience showed that the body weight went up by 15 to 20%. They reduced the mortality. The mortality of the goat was reduced. There was a transparency in operation because now the payment was paid on weight basis rather than a piece of that goat basis versus weight basis. Goats 1, 2, 3, 4, you can count, and that is a piece basis. But here, they went into the process, depending upon the weight of the goat, they will be paid. So the payment was more transparent. any community-based organization, this is the important learning we have to make it, any community-based organization will succeed only if you have a transparency in the operations. Now, one of the mechanisms of ensuring the transparency is digitalization. A good leader, a good social mobilizer has to be there who can keep the flock together. These are all the things which went up. But one lesson which is coming here is have the transparency in operations. The payment was made on weight basis rather than a piece basis. There was a view which came up that ultimately their income went up by 23.4%. This is average. Some people got more, some got less, but average is about 23%. You know. How they were benefited, this is what I'm showing you in the next slide. This is what I discussed. Pre-FPO, what was the situation? What is the situation in the post-FPO? And then some kind of, you know, observations are made in the last column. The average weight went up. You know. How it went up, you can see in the figures. There was an improvement in the weights. You know. Please remember, this is what I explained to you, you know, repeatedly, that now the payment is made on the basis of weight of a goat rather than piece. The price improved, you know. How much it improved, you can see it, you know. The pre and post, if you compare, there is definitely an improvement in the price support which these people got. How much the sales realization goes up, this is what I explained to you. About 23%, the income has gone up of these people, you know, because of the FPO. What is FPO were doing? Very interesting, you know. This is in Darbhanga in Bihar. The FPO diversified their activity. They moved from goat farming also. The additional, please remember, they have not replaced it. Goat farming support was continued. But they also went for agriculture input. They went for output business. For example, they provided seed. They provided fertilizer. They provided plant production. They provided the marketing support. All this support came for agricultural crop also. Overall, the performance was good and was improving. For example, their margins were improving. The turnover was improving. Figures are there. You can always glance those figures. But the turnover improved, the margins improved. What was the margin? That is something which is given there, you know. Their margin was about 4.9%, something they were realizing. The scale is indicated as something like 12.3 lakh was a kind of, you know, turnover of the FPO. As far as the inputs are concerned, please remember the goat is already there. Goat plus this is happening now. So one lesson you get learning from here is, do not rely on a single activity. If you want to see a successful FPO, you have to diversify. Go for crop farming also. Go for goat farming or allied agriculture activities. Go for technical education. Go for marketing support. Have a transparency in the operation. All these lessons are coming from these kind of caselets which we are studying, you know. The most important impact we realized in the field was the migration of the labor was arrested, or migration of labor was reduced actually, because now they could undertake a goat rearing activity on a full-time basis. This is what was interesting for us. You know. These are the references which the first reference is that Bina Agarwal group farming in Kerala, which I shared with you. You can go to their website I have given you for ready reference. Some of you can go into the details based on your interest. These are the other. That Ravichandran's article is basically on the PSCS, you know. This is just to show you what happened in Tamil Nadu, you know. That last FPO, that is that Yadav and Rajesh and Kumar Nikhil, that is something the SIG moved to a FPO. And I give you a website, you can see the other website. I give you my email address at the end. And I can expect your feedback. Based on your feedback, we can always improve on it, you know. Thank you very much.